I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my gosh, it's officially summer. You should know everything is heating up on Monday Night Raw. The Monday Night Raw after show comes to you live all over the Southland, but the show itself comes to you once again from the Performance Center in this no-fan, semi-fans era. Hello, everyone. My name is Hobo Voice, and over the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk about everything happening in the Monday Night Raw universe. Of course, some matches, some trades, some bookings for Extreme Rules. Before we do all that, I got to introduce my all-star panel. I have a quote here. Her representation gave it to me. She is once known as La Pequeña or La Profesora. Give it up for Leslie Colon.
Yes, yes, that is me. Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be here. What an interesting night. Apparently, wrestlers can book their own matches now. Interesting twist.
I'm confused too. Are you moderating next week? You book that in? It's my show now, dang it.
I'm taking over.
We're taking over. Yep. And of course, I will be remiss if I don't mention this guy right here. He is the co-host of Jack and Bobo Wrestle With Your Questions, also known as the leader of the Brock Flock, the voice of AEW Dynamite, and the Hall of Farmer. Throw it back. Get up for Jack Farmer, everybody.
Hey, so glad to be here. You know, Leslie, the Iconics said they know someone that knows someone. They know the mystery GM. That's who's making these matches. We need to ask Peyton Royce and Billy Kay what's happening, because they seem to have the inside scoop. Win, lose, or draw.
Of course, this show appears.
Well, it was a loss tonight.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they know somebody, but it's a loss or match. Shout out to everyone in the chat right now. Heywood Wong, Joseph Boza, Dangham Q. We also got some new faces in there. Wrestling Hound, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us here. If your questions, comments, concerns, we'll handle it live. Championship Monday, y'all. Four titles were decided. Leslie, overall thoughts about today's episode of Monday Night Raw?
I thought it was good, you know. I thought at first we started off great, and then it went down a little bit, and then we went really great, and then we went down a little bit. I feel like we're in a roller coaster tonight. We were really up, and then we're down, and then we're
and the
up,
price of admission is free, Leslie. Yeah.
But overall, great show. My favorite match of the night. I have to give it to Charlotte and Asuka. Such a great match. I was like screaming. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. It was just too good for me. After that, I was like, anything else? Because it was good. Aside from my 619 peeps, shout out to the Mysterio family. They're my family too. Everyone from 619. You haters.
I don't think you're related. I'm not a hater. I'm just saying. I don't think you're related to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, you're too tall to be related to Rey Mysterio.
Wow.
Yo, it's her Pueblo, dude. Thoughts about today's episode.
You know, this was Championship Monday. We need to do these more often. If I'm honest, the start, it kind of started off slow. It kind of felt like, okay, this is just par for the course. But it started picking up steam as it went on. It started getting better and better. And by the end, I was like, man, they've really knocked it out of the park. I kept saying to myself, this character's great. This character's great. This rivalry's great. This rivalry's great. It ended as a great show. I think this is one of my favorite Raws we've had in quite some time.
Wow. Two different perspectives.
Wow.
I thought it was okay. There's moments I liked, and there were some moments that kind of, see, I guess if we had doing shapes, for those of you listening on the podcast, Leslie had an up and down kind of hill thing. Jack had a straight line going up, and I'm doing like up and then down the middle and coming up at the end. That's the audio help right there.
You're trying to be the bipartisan middleman here, Flobo. I want you to pick a side.
Vote for me. I
hold on. Someone just gave a huge compliment. Shout out to Charlene. She's like, maybe Leslie is a guerrero. Woof.
I thought you said you were a Mysterio.
Yeah, I know, right? Goodbye, everybody.
I think you're related to the Big Show, flip flopping all over the place.
The Big Show.
You're a heel. Really? Your face. You're a heel. But the big news up top today, don't leave us alone. The big news up top today, Dolph Ziggler comes in a trade, it seems like, with Bobby Roode / Robert Roode for AJ Styles, even though Apollo came to Monday Night Raw as well. And instantly, he gets to be number one contender because Drew is like, cool. Leslie, you mentioned this before on top of the show. What's the deal with champions booking their own matches?
Okay, first of all, I was confused because apparently all of a sudden everyone can just jump from one brand to the other. So that's like the biggest part where I'm like, okay, so are we not really settling for SmackDown, or like just Raw, everyone's just going to be going from one place to the other, which is fine. I don't mind it. I love Dolph Ziggler. I've always loved Dolph Ziggler. I feel like he's one of the wrestlers that they don't push enough. He has the skills. He's had great matches. It was just a little weird, the fact that he kind of inserted himself and was like, you know, I was always there for you. Now give me a title match. Okay. It was a little confusing. I don't mind it. I think it's going to be a great story. But again, I've always loved, you know, when there was a general manager or someone came out and was like, you know, this match is official. Instead of just Drew McIntyre, apparently, I accept. But hey, I don't mind it. I'm excited to see where this is going to go, because it has such potential, because both of them are great wrestlers. So I bet this is going to be a great brawl, and Extreme Rules is looking pretty great. So hey, I'm excited. Can't complain.
Yeah, Jack, Leslie brought up 2 points. One, does Ron the general manager now, the way it's going in this current iteration? And two, are we getting a superstar shakeup or draft, or is this kind of like a superstar jingle? Like, you just come in and whatever they want and just say, hey, I'm a new brand now.
I've always loved general managers. I've always thought the only downfall to them is they become too big a part of the show. I think when you look at someone like William Regal right now, just exactly what you want from a general manager. Someone who only shows up every now and again to say, War Games! And other things like that. And other things like that. But I think having someone that is that authority figure can be incredibly helpful for things like this. So I hope they do. I think this is more of a jingle. I think this is really them trying to say, who can make it to Florida? Who can be here now? And how do we stretch these rosters to make sure that we can fill all the content without being any more repetitive than they frankly get sometimes at this, with all that's going on? So I think that's all that it was. I will say it's an interesting thing with Ziggler. He's coming off of one of the hottest feuds, frankly, with him and Otis that was going on for the past few months. And though it seems like he always comes up as a loser, he's getting pushed to the moon here. He's getting that world title shot. I think even Drew McIntyre didn't seem sold on it when he said, okay, I guess we're going to have a match. But, but you know,
I'm clipping that out and telling Dolph Ziggler that Jack said you're a loser. I just want you to know.
I didn't say he was a loser. He's here to show the world.
The show off.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's cool that there's the whole exchange thing is okay, and we're getting more people on Raw to freshen up the rosters. For example, look at our homegirl Nia Jax. This whole women's division on Raw, we lamented. We were all like, I don't know, it's kind of weak, especially compared to NXT. But overnight, we've seen so much change. I know there's a couple of segments we're going to roll in together, but Nia Jax got herself to stare down with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair got to show the other side of what her character was, what it means to be the queen. And Natalya is now a threat? What is going on? Jack, let me ask you first. Nia Jax, I know you're not the biggest fan of this, but as she is now as a role player in this revitalized division, is she playing a role correctly?
So just a quick statement regarding what you just said. I've said in the past, I think NXT has the most stacked women's division in all of wrestling. And I think the WWE women's division as a whole is great, but you know, we talk about getting another evolution. I don't think we need one, because right now the best thing going on all three brands is the women's division. They are killing it in every single sector. They blew me away. We'll get to it, but best match of the night tonight. They have the best stories going on. They have the best... they're killing it. The women's division, they've taken over. They've won. They've already taken that top spot. Fellas, it's up to you if you want it back. But right now, the women's division is ruling wrestling. To your point about Nia Jax, though, this is the absolute most important feud she's going to be in, because her feud with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is the best of all time. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Yeah. She proved it tonight. She is so good. If Nia Jax can't make this a fascinating feud, then she's just a generic monster villain. If she can't make this great. If she can, then maybe I need to give her a second chance. Maybe I need to give her some more time to prove herself. But if this is just a generic kind of basic, can Charlotte beat the big woman feud, basic, she's just generic.
Before I ask your thoughts, Leslie, I want to give a shout out to Angie Harris, who says she found out she's having a girl. What?
Congratulations.
For future champion of the world. Leslie, thoughts about this? Women's division on Raw. What gives?
Okay, I have to disagree with you, Jack, on one thing. We do need an Evolution 2 because I feel like it means more than just highlighting it. It's highlighting women in general, you know, just representing the women's division on a bigger stage. So just letting them know that they can have a second pay-per-view. So I think that's the point that I want to get across, is I feel like they should have another Evolution 2. But aside from that, the women's division is great. They're killing it. If anything, I'm more excited. Well, I've always been like a huge fan of women's wrestling, and I tend to watch these shows more for women's wrestling. So tonight, it just proved it. Even like the tag match was great. This match was amazing. And in regards to Nia, I felt like tonight, this was the first time that I was actually surprised by her. And especially because she made Charlotte look vulnerable. And I don't think we've ever really seen Charlotte look like that. So it made me pay attention and look and be like, whoa, is Nia actually doing something this time? So I hope.
Whoa, like, you're actually being effective? Yeah. Oh, snap.
Well, because like Jack said, sometimes, you know, she comes off as like the big villain, but yeah. I don't feel like it's executed. So this time I feel like she actually put it into action. And she really went after Charlotte, and Charlotte went down. When do you see Charlotte go down like that? It never happens.
True. So,
was just surprising. Yeah.
It was. And I'm
can I defend myself on Evolution real quick?
No.
real quick. Of course, I'd love to see another Evolution. I'm a pro wrestling fan. I'd love to see more shows. Any shows you want to give me, feel free. I guess my point was that I felt like Evolution was about giving women wrestlers a chance to shine. And my point is they're more than shining. They've taken over. They are the pinnacle at this point. And so that was my point. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't have.
I think there's that too, just school of thought of saying, hey, look, Evolution was an amazing event. I personally want to see it again, but there is some people that say, hey, look, for women's wrestling to really grow, we can't treat it as a sideshow. We have to like have the event. So I see both sides of that. But though those graphics and theme songs, Revolution, all ladies salute. It was great. But skipping ahead though, about the women's division, Charlotte Flair had a match against Asuka, which I didn't think was going to have a clean finish, and it did, because Nia Jax got involved with Charlotte beforehand, and Charlotte taps out on a Monday for free. What, Leslie? What?
Oh my god, that's what I was like, oh my god, what is happening? But it was so good. It was so good. That submission was so good. I was surprised, because honestly, I thought before this match, I was watching the show with my brother, so shout out to my brothers. I was like, they're not gonna let Charlotte lose. They're not gonna let her lose. She's gonna get another championship. It's just not possible, or Nia's gonna come and interrupt. There's no way that Asuka is going to win, because it just seems like Charlotte always gets that win. And for a while, especially for the last couple weeks, it's been like, you know, Charlotte is going to be on top. Charlotte's going to be on top. The only time that she actually lost was that on NXT. So it was interesting. First of all, this match was like out of nowhere. Second of all, I was like, there's no way that it just seemed random to me. One, the match, two, that Asuka was going to beat her at this moment. It just seemed like, why now? But it was perfect. For me, it was a perfect ending. The match was great. They have such a brutal match. They're such great wrestlers individually. And bringing them together, it's like another Bayley versus Sasha match where they just beat each other up. And I was surprised. Props to them. I loved it. Asuka, you did it. I was so happy.
She didn't win the lottery, Leslie. Dang.
It just seemed like she did.
You did, baby like girl. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Jack, thoughts about the match, man? The second title match of the night. Asuka versus Charlotte.
So this was match of the night by a mile. This was such a good match. I mean, the outcome obviously helps because, as you mentioned, it was a clean tap out loss to Charlotte. Everyone gives Charlotte such a hard time. It's like, oh, she always gets pushed and she always wins and she gets all these titles and stuff. Asuka was given this championship. And I don't care if people say, oh, but she won Money in the Bank, so she kind of earned it. There was always this feeling like she was just gifted the title and she needed something to feel like she really earned that title. And yeah. This was that match. It wasn't Becky losing the match that and helping Asuka to now hold that title up high. It was Charlotte that stepped in, took the L in a way that not only pivots her into a great feud with Nia Jax, but makes Asuka seem like she's just as dangerous, just as good, and just as amazing as she was back when she was undefeated. This was such a good match in every way, shape, and form. And in one match, they completely made the entire women's division the thing to watch on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, see that.
So I got Roman Reigns over here. He's.
I actually agree with you. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like you see Charlotte being said, we're giving you Nia Jax. What can you pull from Nia? Not to say that Nia just can't go, but rather she has been seen as less than favorable on social media. I think this may be, and the fact is, this is a lot about Charlotte being so dynamic in her character, she can pivot to a slightly face to get Nia Jax that much more intense. Has a lot more about the queen, which is my new best friend, because I did it for her 2 weeks ago on Maria Menounos' show, Better Together. Check it out on AfterBuzz TV. All right. So what about the Street Profits, man? Street Profits, Viking Raiders, Viking Profits. They decide to have the first match chronologically, but the second of the show, tag team title matchup on the line. Street Profits dispatch Viking Raiders pretty simply, which is kind of interesting because they didn't really win against them 2-on-2 before, but it seems to be another threat altogether. Now, Leslie. Now, you and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. We're like, yeah, golfing and all that stuff is kind of meh, but the match itself tonight, I thought was pretty solid. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely thought it was great. It really goes to show that the Street Profits aren't all just like fun. They can really get down in the ring too. So I loved it. It was a great match. And hey, props to them. They had great gear tonight too. They changed it up a little bit. I loved it. Overall, great match. They were looking good overall. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was
it's like
great.
That segment we used to have. Was it Christian's Closet or the Boudoir, the Runway? I don't know what we call it here.
I don't know.
I have no idea. It was a good match. I thought so. Jack.
Yeah,
you know, this was, I can't believe these guys have been feuding for so long and we finally get this match and the Street Profits in a really hard hitting affair. They came out, they won, and it, I don't know what they got in those red cups of theirs, but I know what I got in my cup. I got in my cup a cup of the Russo Bro Roasters coffee. You know, sorry to pivot here, Floba, but you and I chatted with Vince Russo himself a while back, and I said, we were talking about coffee. On Quarantine with the Star on AfterBuzz TV, and he mentioned Russo Bro Coffee from Brosters. And I said to myself, I love coffee. I'm going to go try it out. So I went and I got some. And let me tell you something, man. This is some good stuff. I don't know if you guys have tried it, but this is this brand. They have a whole bunch of styles, but Russo Bro specifically is just like, it's some bacon and eggs and toast kind of coffee, that kind of coffee you want every single morning. And I don't know if you're a Folgers guy or a Dunkin' Donuts guy, but these guys really stand out because they've got small batch, roasted freshly every single week, single origin. It's no blends. There's no flavors or anything. It's specialty, high quality grade beans. Flobo, you need to go yourself to www.thebrosters.com and get yourself some today. And you're going to have the energy it takes to beat the Viking Raiders, I believe.
You just put it back to wrestling? What just happened there?
Wow.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Garza and Andrade. Seemingly now they're in the World Tag Team Division and they don't drink coffee, apparently. So we have the Street Profits now, new challengers. Where do the Viking Raiders go, Leslie? They seem kind of odd men out.
Fuera! I just want to see Angel Garza and Andrade go
atrás.
Atrás! Fuera! Out! Yeah. I'm just excited for this new tag team. I was confused a couple weeks ago. I didn't know if I wanted them to split up. I didn't know if I wanted them to be together. But now the answer is there. I want them to be a tag team, and I want them to go after the Street Profits. I think they're better as a team. And Zelina is just going to get them to the top. I love the Street Profits, but hey, you got to be careful for La Nueva Cara de los Latinos because they're coming after those tag team championships. So beware. I'm telling you guys, beware. We're taking over.
So according to Leslie, the Viking Raiders are out collecting a check. Jack, what do you think? What does the Viking Raiders go after this particular feud of the Street Profits, which lasted, I think, 11 weeks. So it's been a while. It's been almost 3 months of them feuding. Where would you put them, man?
I mean, I think the only thing left for them at this point is to make a pivot to SmackDown. I think their toughness was put on blast. They got punked. They took their scary, serious Viking experience style, and they got goofy, and then they got beat up in a hard-hitting match. And they lost clean. Like, what else could they do except try to go somewhere else? Because frankly, there just isn't any reason for me to watch them wrestle now that we don't have Brandon Vink and Jason Thorne for them to feud with, or Cedric
Shane
and
Thorne.
Wait, who'd I say?
Jason Thorne.
The Thorne trilogy. But the truth is, the tag team division is so weird because even Andrade and Angel Garza, they're fighting too, so they don't really seem like that strong of a team right now. I think the long-term answer, not to skip ahead, I think the long-term answer lies in Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. But for now, I feel like they really submarined, they torpedoed their tag team division. And I think they're going to need to start mixing things up big time if you want to make this a deep division again. Because let's be honest, man, Andrade and Garza, when was the last time they won matches? We talk about Ziggler showing up and suddenly getting a title match. What are these guys doing? Not only are they losing, but they don't even like each other. I feel like you could pull two people out of the crowd that have been winning matches on NXT that are at least friendly.
So I want to give a shout out to a longtime viewer of the show, Dylan Matthews, also known as Jif King or Gif King. He clips out parts of the show. I want you to clip out the part where Leslie goes, Jack, you're so wrong. Leslie, why is Jack wrong right now?
I think you misunderstood their interview. Their interview said they agree on one thing, and that is a championship. And you know what they can both have? The tag team championships. You know, they're on the same page now. It's like they were on a fight for a little bit, but they're good. Jack, wake up. This is a new team.
Speaking of waking up, you need some Russo Bro coffee because you are asleep at the wheel if you think these two are going to be working together for more than a week. As soon as one of them hits each other with a hard tag, or maybe one of them doesn't do something just right, you know, Angel Garza is going to see Charlie Caruso out on the side of the ring, and he's going to be too busy looking that way. This team is going to implode. No way.
We are off the rails.
No chance. No chance in hell, as the song goes.
Which is a classic, by the way, which is the theme song of 1989 Royal Rumble.
You guys heard it here. We're going to see who's right. And I can't wait till Jack says, Leslie, you're right. And I'm going to make him say it in Spanish. Just so it can hurt him more.
Oh, well, wait, tienes razón, right?
Yes.
Oh, I know Spanish. All right, so moving on. We talked about the greatest wrestling match ever last week, Randy Orton, Edge. It was not necessarily the best, but definitely in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But that promo by the Rated R Superstar, I want to ask you guys both collectively, because as a character, I've said it before, Edge doesn't quite do it for me. But Twitter blew up and said this is the best promo you've seen in a while. Leslie, I'm going to start with you. Edge, he's feeling it. New tricep and everything.
Ooh, I had chills while watching this promo because it was, you know, I believed it. I believed the storyline. You know what? I am surprised though that they're going to continue it. I thought it was going to end, especially because, you know, he does have an injury. So my question is, what's next? Because he's injured. He just had surgery. But I think one of the things that I loved about these two is that they include their real life and people in their like personal lives. So it makes it more real to me. And it makes me want to watch even more because now I'm like, they're including their wives. They're including their kids. Don't come after their wives or their kids because that's personal. Yeah, but hey, these promos. Yeah. Anyway, back to my point. It's so good. That's why the Mysterio family is good, okay? But it's just good. You know, these guys are killing it every week with their promos. Oh my goodness, him and his colleague. With their promos. And, you know, I'm with everyone on Twitter. This is great. And I'm excited. I'm interested to see where they're going to go from here because, again, Edge is injured. But hey, they're selling you. It's good.
Yeah. Jack Farmer, I know Edge is one of your favorites of all time. Talk to me, bro.
This was in every way, shape, and form executed perfectly as a promo. It was emotional. It made sense. It brought in personal stories. It upped the ante. The only problem is it didn't add anything new. It was personal last month. It was personal the month before. It was personal after the Royal Rumble. What we didn't like, if this wasn't the fifth time I'd seen this promo, I would say this was one of the best promos I've ever seen. But because again, he acted it well. The acting was great. The words were great. Everything was great.
I disagree.
But it wasn't like he's Orton made it personal when he attacked Edge's wife. How many weeks ago?
Dude,
it's more personal because he attacked his friend.
I can't believe I'm defending Edge here. I can't believe you made me defend Edge here, guys. Clip this out too. But he said he's going to unwaken the rated R superstar.
Yeah.
That's a
I
whole
think you need that coffee.
Listen, I'm saying, look, so what? We weren't calling him the rated R superstar before? He wasn't, because I could swear on this day, I saw clearly he's the same Edge that he was a week ago.
Russell puns.
It was a great promo. I've just seen it already. I've seen it for the past few weeks. In a bubble on its own, it was delivered and executed perfectly, but it's the same promo we saw before. What was different than the one he was doing before this, except for saying, now I'm using my old moniker? Really? We're good like that. Like, you know who else does stuff like that? Matt Hardy. And he's kind of silly in AEW. He's kind of a joke.
You're like, comparing Edge to Matt Hardy. Again, what? Don't defend Edge, but please. Matt Hardy's no Edge. I'm sorry.
But my point being, but acting like you're going, oh, now I'm the rated R superstar. Oh, so the greatest match ever, you weren't even doing that good? You weren't even your main thing? That was the greatest match ever, and it wasn't your WrestleMania? You were just kind of like showing up to say hello? What was that?
Wow, I thought he was a fan. I'm confused.
I thought he was a face. I don't know.
I am a fan, and it was a great promo. I've just seen it already. Maybe it's like they're building up to a last man standing match. That'd be great. Let's do a last man standing match.
You got it already at WrestleMania.
I know.
Exactly. That's my point.
I don't know. I'm confused.
Leslie, save me. Please save me. Auxilio.
Let's proceed.
Okay. Let's talk about the other tag team title match player, Sasha Banks. And the role model, the best female wrestler on this planet, the most decorated superstar fighting on all three brands, Bayley against the Iconics. Match pretty solid, I thought. But the end, Sasha Banks says she wants a title shot against Asuka? Leslie.
Yeah.
Because I love Bayley so much, I might just gush. What's up?
First of all, I have to agree with you. You know, you have to find that video of us when we saw Bayley live. We were like screaming like little kids. We have to post that so everyone can see that.
I gotta go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, Dylan. You know, you're the best, but I have to disagree with you on this one. I have to go with Bayley and Sasha. Sasha is just fierce. I was confused though. I was a little excited. I wanted to see that turn because they have such great matches against each other, Bayley versus Sasha. So I was like, oh my gosh, is it finally going to happen? Are they going to go after each other while being the tag team champions? And I thought that would be a little interesting, but then she said Asuka. So that's when the question is, what is happening with these brands? Is Sasha going to go to Raw and then defend the, I don't know, like I'm so confused. How is it going to work if she wins the championship?
True. Dylan's asking if you could skip this bit. The answer was no, because the Iconics lost handedly. Jack Farmer, Leslie has a good point. I mean, if Sasha Banks becomes a new Raw Women's Champion, does that guarantee her a spot on the Raw roster if they lose the tag team championships?
let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. This was such a well-executed segment here. The tease of Banks going for the SmackDown women's title, but then she goes for the Raw women's champion instead, which, by the way, on its own, Asuka versus Sasha Banks is a barn burner of a match, one that I definitely want to see. I think everyone wants to see it. That's going to be great. But the tease of whether or not Bayley and Sasha Banks are going to go against each other. Listen, I say right now, the four horsewomen are dead and gone. It is now time for the two-woman power trip. And I think Sasha Banks should win that title. And they should be draped in gold, Flobo. I think that Sasha Banks and Bayley should run the gamut and take everything. And you know how they should blow off their feud is by both of them going for the women's NXT title. That is huge. I think I'm so excited. I'm giddy. This is one of my favorite things going on right now. I'm jumping on the Bayley train. So this is all new for me. I'm having fun. This is great. I love it. And Leslie, there is no buts. I am just excited about this.
I thought you were going to say, just kidding. It was too good to be true for
I love it. I'm totally into it. I mean, I love Asuka, so I'm kind of bummed out that she's going to, you know, be the on the wrong end of this whole dream scenario I'm coming up with in my head as we speak right now. But I want to see the two-woman power trip. I want to see them take over all the women wrestling in WWE. I am having such a good time watching these two.
You deserve
the coffee
it.
Works now.
Yes.
Coffee works now.
Hey, I'll tell you, I when I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. And when that day happens, be ready. But for right now, I'm always right. And I think Bayley and Sasha Banks are the best thing going.
I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the Monday Night Raw After Show. If you haven't already, hit that like button, like, comment, subscribe, share this show to your friends on social media. And if you're using the podcast, man, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, Spreaker, SoundCloud, hey, hit 5 stars, write a comment because we read them all and we kind of pine over it because if you write us bad things, we cry to ourselves. But you won't do that. Mm-hmm. 5 stars is what we need. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this show and this network, the ESPN TV Talk. AfterBuzz TV wrestling and sports coverage is Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. Don't for also forget that other show, Dynamite, hosted by this guy, Jack Farmer. All good stuff.
That's a good one.
Yeah, please support the show. Speaking about things I want to support, my new best friend, Apollo, had a rematch against Shelton Benjamin with MVP in the background saying, you got to work with me, Apollo. MVP, I don't know if he hosts a show, if he's a general manager, if he's a mob boss, but he's all over Raw and he's making it happen. And it's so dang compelling because I saw him beat ninjas right in their face. Leslie, MVP, Apollo, what's going to happen next?
I don't know. I feel like MVP's going to go after that title. There's no way that he's not going to want to go after that title. It just makes sense. Why not? But why not? I have to give it to Apollo. I want to see him be a champion for a really long time because I feel like, just like you're a fan, I've been a fan, and we've been wanting this for a while. So why not let him be a champion, but actually give him someone who is worthy of that championship, a good, you know, I don't know, a good contender. I want a good storyline. I want someone to really give Apollo that good match where we're like, oh, we're stuck. We don't know who to go for. So I feel like that's still missing right now. They're kind of just throwing Shelton Benjamin in there and, like, you know, MVP. Yeah, I don't know.
It's funny because, like, it's like I even though I'm an Apollo fan, maybe I'm skewed, but I've never seen the U.S. title matter so much over such a short time since Apollo became the U.S. title, the U.S. champion. Jack has already shaking his head no. Yeah, are you captivated?
Leslie, how dare you? MVP has been the MVP of RAW for so long. What do you mean someone that deserves it? This guy made Lana amazing. He made Lashley amazing. He even made the ninjas amazing when he came out and beat them up. He makes the VIP lounge amazing. He makes everything amazing. Does he deserve to be the US champion? He deserves to be whatever he wants. He is so entertaining. He has resurrected people. Oh. And this was one of the examples of me watching this show, and it just build momentum and build momentum and build momentum, because as this was coming, it was like, wow, this is so cool. Not only do I want to see what's going on with Lashley and where he's going to go with his rivalry with Apollo Crews, but now what's MVP doing? Is MVP going to go into business for himself? Is he going to go hire the ninjas? What is MVP doing? He's the most interesting person around like four other wrestlers, and the guy doesn't even have to step into the ring. He absolutely deserves to be going for that US title. He's fascinating to watch. I'd love to see him with that strap.
I hope that ninjas are gone. I'll tell them. I hope ninjas are gone. So Leslie, we had the match, right? So Apollo Crews, Shelton Benjamin, which I guess cool, because he's Shelton Benjamin. That's dope. Talk about having a storyline for Apollo Crews. I'm not going to put you on the spot here because I know we don't know who is on the roster anymore with all these changes. But if you had a chance to do a feud for Apollo Crews, a long-term or a long-term now, 2 to 3 months, 2 to 4 months, who would you put against Apollo Crews for the United States Championship?
Well, someone that we haven't seen really have a storyline and who's kind of in a weird mix right now is Aleister Black, especially with the whole Mysterio family. I feel like it's a little confusing. I mean, it makes sense because, you know, they've attacked him and everything, but I feel like he has the skills, and this would be a good storyline to see someone that has great wrestling skills, and I want to see more of like a personality in a way. I think like this would be an interesting storyline. It would be a little bit weird because they have such different characters, but I think it'd be a wrestler who it's kind of on the same level as Apollo, where he has such the great skills, but they don't really know what to do with him. So if they just give him that platform and just find this like random storyline to give him, why not? Because it would give him that ability to show who he is, to kind of really establish that character. Yes, we've talked about this before, where he's kind of like the mysterious one, but we don't really know like what is the definition of Aleister Black. So I think this would be a good feud. And again, it could really put him on that championship level.
So you mentioned, let's talk about this guy. So Aleister Black, I hadn't seen him in a while. It seems like maybe he was kind of in the background. And the main event tonight, Rey Mysterio comes out to the whole, like, hey, him and Dominic come out to, like, confront Seth Rollins. He comes out, Seth is like, I got my guys. The guy that get dispatched. And Humberto Carrillo, which is somebody, if you're not watching WWE main event, you could have kind of forgot about him, really. And Aleister Black coming to the aid. Fantastic, awesome gang warfare visual on the screen. But my fear, to your point, Leslie, is that both Aleister Black and Humberto are kind of lost. So, I mean, if you, like, would you put Aleister back down U.S. Division? Would you have him see out this thing with Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins?
I mean, it's obvious that Dominic isn't going to be. I already see where this is going. It's going to be a three-on-three. So Dominic isn't like a full wrestler yet. You know, we do know he's training. We don't know if he's signed. So obviously it has to be Aleister with Humberto with Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins and, you know, his crew. So it's obvious that that's the route that they're going to go for. So it only makes sense for them to finish that and then for them to find their own paths, because I feel, again, like Aleister Black has so much potential, yet they're not giving him that platform yet. Or they really don't know what to do with him. I mean, it's just a random mix of all these guys right now.
It does seem like the white guys versus Latinos and Aleister. Like, you just kind of like, hey, over what's up? It is kind of weird. Jack, probably that same question for you, man. Aleister Black seems to be lost. We got involved in the main event tonight. I know we love the Seth Rollins Mysterio thing, but is this the right direction? This giant tag team, triple threat, or gang warfare thing going?
I think it's the right thing, and there's only one reason why. And if this doesn't play out this way, then I retroactively remove this comment. But I think right now, Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo are just in a holding pattern while they wait for the rivalry between Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio to play out. I think they're just bodies there to even the odds. I think Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins are going to have their rivalry, and when it's done, then I think it's going to be like Carrillo versus Mysterio and Rollins versus Aleister Black. And that's when things are going to get probably more serious for those guys. If I'm wrong, then this is terrible for them. They definitely need to be in bigger roles than this. But I do think they're just kind of this is just kind of a placeholder for them until those two bigger rivalries open up. And once it breaks open there, that's my hope. That's what I hope the next thing is. I hope that the next match is either Aleister Black versus Mysterio or Seth Rollins and Carrillo just gets a match in there somewhere. But if this is just like, hey, we need something for you to do, then there's plenty better things for them to do than this. But I'm optimistic. I think it's going to go somewhere well. And I think this is just them kind of, this is that moment that we don't appreciate. But then in a few months, they're like, oh, they have a history because of they were feuding as a group before. That's what I'm hoping. And I think that's how it'll play out.
You pick both sides. Jack Farmer is a Skip Bayless of AfterBuzz TV wrestling.
Dak Prescott is the greatest of all time. I tell
you. This is the greatest show. No.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God.
Leslie, please come back next week. Please don't quit. So let's talk about this. Natalya, which seems to have a new personality overnight. With Lana had a match against Liv Morgan, which I was confused. I really thought, hey, Liv Morgan's having a trouble with the win-loss record, and Natalya's having a trouble with the win-loss record, but yet I was still disappointed. Looks like Natalya's kind of working with Lana as a bad girl, and Liv is just trying to figure things out with Ruby Riott. Leslie, what's going on?
I don't know. I really, I didn't think Lana was going to get another role as a valet. I really didn't. I thought they were going to continue the storyline with the whole divorce thing, because it kind of just seemed like it was thrown at us and then the divorce didn't happen. Or it would have been great for us to continue to see that, especially because, like Jack said, it was such a great storyline that I would have liked a complete ending to it. So for her to kind of go with Natty and then, or Natalya, and then just be like, oh, I'm your valet now, I'm gonna be your manager and we're best friends, I don't buy it. I don't like it. I don't buy it. And this match was, I thought, first of all, it was short. And I feel bad for Liv Morgan. We've been talking about this for a while now, because she's kind of hasn't really found her character. At first, we were like, okay, she was kind of lost. And then she was like in that bathtub. And then she was like this, she wears this really like dark makeup. So you would think she would be a threat, but she hasn't been. So it leaves her to be like, so is now going to, is she going to go back with Ruby Riott? Are they going to be a team now? And are they going to go for the Women's Tag Team Championships? Because apparently there's no other contenders.
So well, there are worse things, especially if you're Liv Morgan, of Ruby, like, I'm at catering, you're at catering, what's up? But it does seem kind of weird. Like, a whole week of storytelling went by without us seeing how Lana decided to go and pick Natalya. Like, I don't understand the rationale. Like, is it because you used to date Liv on camera? I don't know. Jack Farmer, walk me through this. Liv Morgan, she seems to have a thing with Ruby Riott, and Lana's with Natalya, but maybe it's too early to tell. What do you think?
I think they're just, I think they realized whatever they had planned for Liv Morgan isn't panning out, or they at least couldn't keep it consistent. It seemed like they just couldn't keep it consistent. And then now we're all kind of confused on who she is. I think the Ruby Riott thing is them just sort of trying to recenter her and get her character back grounded again by going back to what worked in the first place. And that was being paired with Ruby Riott. Lana and Natty, they did meet up backstage and have one of those, like, maybe we should work together moments. And I think that, so I think that that works. I would have liked to see a bigger resolution. I agree. I would have liked to see more resolution between her and MVP. But I, for whatever reason, I feel like they decided to pull the plug on Lashley and Lana and move on from that. And I think her managing Natty's great, because I think it gives Natty new life. I think it gives her more of a chance to be a threat. And I've always thought she should have some good, real storytelling to do and not just be a person to help make the roster bigger. So I'm hoping good things for everyone. I've got all the time in the world for all of them.
Well, I'm torn, because I like the idea of having female talent being managed by females. I think that's pretty cool. Much like how NXT, you have Robert Stone, a male managing female. Oh, I guess hopefully, because Aaliyah's not quite signed yet. But is it kind of weird though, given what we saw last week before with MVP, that Lana's not managing another male competitor to potentially go against Lashley? Check.
It is weird. Like I said, I would have liked to have seen things play out a little differently. Like, I don't know what you could have done that wouldn't have seemed a little obvious, but I think something happened backstage. I think something happened that we don't know about that made the WWE say, we need to end the whole Lashley Lana thing. I don't know if maybe there was a level of, if Rusev's not here, then Lana doesn't want to do it. I don't know if there was anything else there. But for some, it just, to me, this feels like a, we're pulling the plug and we're trying to get away from that as quickly and as seamlessly as possible, which they did. I would have liked to have seen a resolution, but wrestling is one of those things where sometimes you just don't get to see it. Sometimes they just got to move on to the next thing. And, you know, we'll never get to see the electronic spider get revenge on Drew McIntyre. Some things you just don't get to see.
I can't believe that was the actual resolution. I thought it was like, oh, it's a joke. No, that's it. I was in the cage. It was a spider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get out of here, Leslie, I want to ask your opinions about this. R-Truth had a match against ninjas. Okay, whatever. And Bobby Lashley MVP get involved and choke out R-Truth. And we have a new 24/7 I-95 7-Eleven champion, whatever, Nakira Tozawa, lost into a pack here. Is this finally the new chapter in the 24/7 title? Why is Akira Tozawa leading ninjas? And, frankly, are the ninjas gone? Are they coming back next week? We have no idea. Leslie, I'm begging you, give me all the answers right now.
First of all, this is going to continue. It's obviously for entertainment. So, no, the ninjas aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there to protect Akira Tozawa from R-Truth, and he's going to find a way.
Those ninjas don't know where they work out. They're kind of pudgy.
And R-Truth is, here's my prediction, R-Truth is going to become a ninja, and then he's going to get in there, and then he's going to win the championship again. That's my prediction, and it's going to happen.
Totally plausible. That's the sad part about it. Be a ninja? Sure.
By the way, a poorly disguised ninja, by the way. Even like a good one. You're going to see his hair sticking out and everything. Yep. It's going to be really poorly done.
Let me ask the chat, guys, if you guys can look it up for me, how many title reigns does R-Truth has as a 24/7 champion? I would love to know. But the question I have for you guys is the idea of comedy and wrestling. We talked about this before, especially on Wrestling With Your Questions. Ninjas, is that something that's still okay? Or is it kind of weird that Akira Tozawa went from being a hard-hitting striker to be a leader of a ninja clan?
Who'd you ask?
Whoever has the first. No, Jack, I asked you first.
Oh, okay. So I think, you know, if you're Akira Tozawa, if they're offering you TV time, you take it. That's what I think. Whatever they want him to do, you take it. I think it's fun. It's silly. It's stupid. It's childish. But that's what the 24/7 title is supposed to be. Now, if Akira was going after Drew McIntyre with ninjas, I'd be really frustrated. If he was going after the tag team titles or the U.S. title, I'd be frustrated. But it's the 24/7 title. It's supposed to be a silly, break up the tension kind of feud and kind of title. I think it's fun. It'll be fun seeing R-Truth battling ninjas to try to win his title back. It's stupid, but it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
I gotcha. I disagree. And what do you think, Leslie?
I disagree as well. I mean, like Joseph Bosa just said,
you guys are bullies.
I'm a bully.
We're the bully.
I disagree.
You're the one that's always going after me. Anyways, Joseph Boza said it's a little stereotypical for Akira Tozawa, and I have to agree because I feel like in a way they're like, what character do we do with you? And it was kind of like, oh, let's just do a ninja because, you know, that's kind of what we see. It makes sense, like, in a way. Yeah, it's funny, but at the same time, it's like what they're doing with Angel Garza as well as making him like the Latin lover type of character. So it's very stereotypical. It's for fun. It's not that serious, but it is what it is.
Yeah, the 24/7 title has changed hands a bunch of times. According to Dylan Matthews, R-Truth is a 36-time 24/7 I-95 South. 36
Did he pass Raven on the hardcore title? Didn't Raven have like 30-something hardcore title reigns?
Man, I missed the hardcore title. At least that made sense. Like I'm gonna beat you.
I mean.
Here's my problem with 24. Here's a hot take. Because, you know, on this show, if you guys listen to Monday Raw show, I try not to have any takes whatsoever. Because one time I defended Bayley and they said I was a heel. But I understand you can't call it the hardcore title with the connotations of what the hardcore title is. But what made it make sense in the comedy sense there is that I want to be known as the toughest guy. So I'm going to pin you in all these locations. Being a champion of 24/7 means nothing, as George Hermosa would say. Check out the pay-per-view coverage here at AfterBuzz TV Wrestling Sports. So now you have the 24/7 title. I have the champion. I'm Akira Tozawa. What do? Do I just hold on to it? Do I put on my mantle? Do I say, yes, I'm the king of time? Do I challenge Karrion Kross because he has hourglasses? I have no idea what goes on when you're 24/7 champion. But Ninja has it, so whatever.
Let me ask you this, Flobo. If you are a pro wrestler and you weigh 200 pounds, who is your champion? Is it the 205 champion, the cruiserweight champion, or is it the champion of your brand? Who cares? Every champion is there to hold the title until someone can take it.
That's okay. You're the only fan of that champion.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, yeah, fine, whatever. But the thing is, 24/7. What does it mean, Jack? What does it mean?
Time. You're the champion of time.
So Kushida should be 24/7 champion.
And
he always has him on the roster.
Well, if Kushida could get his time right, he'd show up in the right place and he'd challenge for the 24/7 title.
Well, give it up to Dylan Matthews. Raven has 27 hardcore title reigns. So well past. I can't believe this. Jack Farmer just drops the mic and leaves. But it's about time for us to get out of here.
My screen went out.
But you're still here? Great.
It's because he's a 24/7 champion. You know, he can't be seen, but he's still there.
But it's about time to get out of here. Leslie, where can the world find you online so they can stalk you and learn more about the things you're working on right now?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you follow me and hit me up. Let's talk more wrestling at @LeslieColon_. I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best. And, you know, we'll see you next week.
Jack Farmer, where can the world find you when you're not phasing in out of
When I'm not having these technical issues, you can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the AW After Show every Wednesday at 8:15 Pacific Standard Time, as well as Wrestling With Your Questions with Flobo every Thursday at 3 p.m. This week, we are doing a cinematic match. That's right. It's already been recorded. It's already happened. Who comes out ahead, Jack or Flobo? But between us, as I'm getting ready for this match, I am going to be drinking some of this delicious Broster's Coffee Russo Bro brand. Make sure to do yourself a favor and support the homie. Go to www.thebroasters.com and order some today. It is quite the treat. You're going to love it. Also, get a smart button. Those guys are still great, too.
That's the first time I hear him say homie.
Yeah, exactly. You're selling out from like a well or something, guy.
I don't know why it's my...
the reason why we're not doing a live show Thursday is because it's my birthday this week, man. Thank you so much for all your well wishes ahead of time. It's your boy, Flo Bito. Follow me on Twitter, @FloboBoys, on Instagram, @FloBito, and FloBito.com. I host a podcast called New Amsterdam Radio, where Leslie Colon herself was on a recent episode, the highest rated episode I've ever done, because her family and crew goes hard. I'll be back here Wednesday for NXT, but until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.